Lent. The first Sunday in Lent is a time when we focus on temptation, Jesus in the wilderness, but how Christ has overcome all things for us, for our salvation. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn, 562, All Mankind Fell in Adam's Fall. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service, setting 3. Please note that during the season of Lent, we take a liturgical fast. We try to avoid singing the Alleluias and also the Gloria, the hymn of praise. We'll do that again when we celebrate Easter for the first time with the Easter Vigil. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. The propers are on the inside. Readings are on the back cover. Outline of the service is on the edge. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, you are a God of certainty, not a God of doubt. And yet doubts come into our minds, our hearts, and even our souls. Heavenly Father, by the power of your word, drive away all our doubts and our fears and help us to cling to the Word made flesh, your Son, our Savior, Jesus. It's in his name that we worship and pray. Amen. Amen. Hymn 562. Divine Service, Setting 3, page 184. Page 184. Please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing the introit.
With all life, I will serve.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Continue with the readings. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Lent is from Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual, printed on your bulletin.
He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.
The epistle is from Hebrews, chapter 4. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, page 191.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. Who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one
remain standing for our sermon hymn, number 656, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, number 656.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Our text today is from the gospel lesson just read, especially these words: Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Thus far our text. Dear friends in Christ, this morning's gospel lesson is all about temptation. We speak about that topic in our small catechism. in the Lord's Prayer. We confess it this way: God tempts no one. Let me say it again. God tempts no one. But Satan, well, Satan is no God. Even though he pretends to be, he is not a God, no matter how much he pretends. He tempts people all the time, left and right. He seeks to lead you astray. He seeks to destroy your faith in the Word of God. He would have you trust in his pitiful, powerless word of lies rather than the living, active Word of God. That's how sin entered the world, as we heard in our Old Testament lesson. Satan, who is no God, came to Adam and Eve in the garden and said, "Did God really say this? Is that really true?" He's implying that even if God did say the word, "You cannot eat from this tree," that of course, God didn't mean it. Satan's trying to get them to believe that when God says a word, it may or may not be true. He introduces doubt. Doubt in God and his word immediately entered into the minds of Adam and Eve, just like it does for you. Did God really say that he's the only God? Did God really say that you are sinful? Did God really say that the wages of sin is death? Did God really say he created the whole world in 6 days and rested on the seventh? Did God really say anything? Or can we just explain everything away with reason and logic and science? That's the way that Satan, who is no God, tempts you. You see, he wants you to abandon God and worship him. He scars your conscience so that it doesn't call a thing what it is any longer. He wants you to turn from the Almighty God to him, a created, fallen, pitiful being. Satan tempts you just like he tempted Adam and Eve. And so Satan shows you that he is no God, because the true God tempts no one. This sinful world is also after you. It pressures you to fit in with the groupthink that is rampant across our land. The world wants you to be woke. The world wants you to join political parties and to believe their lies because they're the same lies that you want to be true. And besides, if your political party wins the election, you'll have power over those who lost the election. You'll be able to say for 4 years, you voted the wrong way. And that will feel pretty good, won't it? But is that feeling good, godly? The world wants you to love your wealth, your home, your car, and even your family more than you love the one true God who created all of these things, who keeps them in existence by the power of his holy word. And so Satan, who is no God, says, if you have more, your life will be better. The world says it's important for you to appear important to other people. Not low, not hungry, not weak. Satan, who is no God, says, if you want respect, you need to project authority, an image, a picture of who you want to be. Must dress for success, cover up your imperfections, hide your gray hairs with dye, cover your face with makeup. The world wants everyone to be leaders, to sit at the head of a group, to be seen by all and adored by them. And so Satan, who is no God, uses the world to tempt your faith. The world tempts you to turn your back on the true God, to hate those whom God has given to you as a neighbor, to gossip and take vengeance against them. But in reality, the world is really just a stooge of Satan, who is no God. The world wants nothing more than for you to be angry and impatient and fall away from your faith. But God, the true God, tempts no one. And now, dear Christians, it's time for us to get really personal. Do not think that all this temptation business is from outside of yourself, that it's all external. Hear this true last thing that God, the true God's word, teaches us. Your own sinful nature is always tempting you as well. We dwell in the flesh. We carry our old Adam about our necks. He exerts himself and encourages us daily to unchastity, laziness, gluttonous, drunkenness, greed, deception, and fraud. If you want to be someone in the world, you have to take it away from the others. Overcharge your neighbor. Put them down in their place. And what I'm saying is that sometimes that idea comes from in here, within ourselves. In short, the old Adam encourages us to have all kinds of evil lusts which cling to us by nature. These lusts which you have and I have, don't we? These lusts tempt us all the time to ignore God. Give in to your real identity. If you think you're the opposite gender, then be the opposite gender. If you think you're better than others, then be better than others. And let them know what you think. Do you know who's behind this? Satan, who is no God. And so your own sinful nature tempts you to make yourself God, to forsake the real God, to forsake the fake imitation of Satan, and even to forsake the world so long as you are happy. Your sinful nature is like Frodo on Mount Doom, who claims the ring for himself rather than allow it to be destroyed. Your flesh tempts you to leave behind the faith. And Satan, who is no God, is behind it. But God, the real God, tempts no one. No, God is not the source of temptation. He cannot be, for He is good. Just as His creation was good before we mucked it all up with sin. It's our fault that so many terrible things face us. It's our fault that there's temptation of such terrible kinds in our world. It's our fault that we give in to that temptation all the time in many ways. Satan, who is no God, tempts us all the time. But God, the real God, overcomes temptation by the cross, by His Son, by Jesus. Yes, Jesus. He is the one person who's never given in to temptation. It's not that He didn't face it. He did. We heard about it in our gospel lesson. Satan tempted Him directly, right to His face, in a way more serious than we can understand. God's Son, Jesus, did not fall. He did not fail. He had no sinful nature to give into. He did not love the world more than He loved His Father. He did not listen to the lies and deception of Satan. Jesus always sought to serve in love towards His Father and towards His neighbors, even you. Jesus, who is the true God, who tempts no one, if we were to compare Him to Satan, who is no God, Satan would appear weak and pitiful compared. Satan misquotes God's word, but that cannot stop Jesus, who is the Word made flesh. Satan's pitiful tempting cannot overpower the Son of the living God, who has descended from heaven. Worldly hunger cannot even cause him to entertain turning his back on God. Jesus doesn't care how the world sees him, if he's rich or powerful or influential. His concern is doing his Father's will. Not my will, but yours be done, Father. And what is God's will? To save you from temptation. To save you from the false god of the devil, the world, and your sinful nature. And that's why Jesus goes to the cross. It's why he's pierced with nails. It's why he's mocked, mistreated. So that the devil, the world, and the sinful natures of man could throw everything they have at him, and he still would come out victorious. We are headed to the cross this Lenten season, to the cross of Christ most glorious. Christ goes against the temptation of the devil, the world, and our sinful natures. He ignores our pleas for bloodless salvation. He ignores the devil's promise of crossless worldly kingdom. He ignores the taunting, the mocking, and he sets his face to Golgotha. Even as he hangs there, suffering hell, bleeding and dying, he ignores the temptation of those present. If you are the Son of God, save yourself. But he will not. He won't come down. He'll win your salvation. He'll take your place. He'll die. He'll raise from the dead. And it's all for you. For your forgiveness. Now you're free. Now, because of Christ's cross, the devil, the world, and your sinful nature no longer have sway over you. You belong to none of them, but instead to Jesus. He purchased you and won you with his own precious blood and suffering and death. You've been baptized into his holy name. He's marked you on your forehead and on your heart as belonging to his forgiveness. You are saved by Jesus. If you try to help yourself by your own thoughts and counsels, you'll only make room for the temptation of Satan, who is no God. But Christ, who is the true God, is the place where you overcome temptation. And Christ is present here for you in his word, in his sacraments. Christ, who is the true God, has won victory over the devil, the world, and our sinful natures. He has overcome the temptation that you could not. He has defeated those who had defeated you. He is the answer in this world. And so, as we continue through the season of Lent, and really, as we continue through our entire lives, we'll continue to pray. Lead us not into temptation. Until that final day when we are delivered forever from the devil, the world, and our sinful natures. Jesus is the God who saves. In his name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This time we continue our service by standing and singing together the offertory, page 192 in your hymnal.
Be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of our Lord Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that a God who protects us from the devil, the world, and our own flesh, and has overcome temptation for us, would be your peace and your Savior today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. Please stand for prayer. In addition to the prayer requests that are listed in our news and notes, we rejoice with former pastor Christopher Morundi and his wife Bethany in the gift of a daughter, Charlotte Grace, born yesterday. We pray. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For all who dwell in the shelter of the Most High through baptism into Christ, that they would continue to receive the forgiveness, life, and salvation he delivers in his church through his holy word and precious sacraments. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all pastors in Christ, that they would commend themselves as servants of God, and by truthful speech and the power of God, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ with conviction and a sense of true urgency. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those being tempted to doubt their Christian faith, that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit and find comfort, peace, and assurance in the one who overcame Satan's temptations in the wilderness for us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our president, our governor, and all those who serve us at the federal, state, and local levels of government, that they would serve with integrity and honor, and for the benefit of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and shut in, the hospitalized and recovering, for all those currently undergoing trials and tribulations, those mourning the loss of loved ones, especially this day we lay before you, Karen, Mark, Tom, Jan, Mark, Cecilia, Barb, James, Susan, Leanne, Todd, Dean, Lori, John, Brooke, Rita, Harlan, family of Matt Dewar. For all those that we remember in our hearts, that they would be comforted by and find refuge in the sure and certain promise that nothing can separate them from the love of God, which is theirs through Christ Jesus. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of life given to Pastor Morundi and Bethany and a daughter, Charlotte Grace, that they would be kept safe in your hands until the day when Charlotte is born again in the waters of holy baptism. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who come to the holy altar this day, that they would receive the very body and blood of Christ in repentance and faith, with reverence and awe, and to their abundant blessing, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the faithful who have departed this world in faith, let us give thanks to the Lord. And for those of us who remain in this valley of the shadow of death, that your holy angels would be with us, so that the evil foe may have no power over us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Amen.
Service of the Sacrament, page 194.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, 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 Holy Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. Take and eat. This is the true body of Christ. Given unto death for you and for the forgiveness of sin. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. Depart now in peace and joy.
The very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus strengthen you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. Please stand. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please remain standing for our closing hymn, 582.